You're listening to 1001 Album Club, where each episode we discuss a different album from Robert Emery's book, 1001 Albums Must Hear Before You Die. This episode we'll be talking about Firehose from Ohio. In the room I have Rob.
Hey buddy.
And on the line I have Ben.
Happy to be here.
And Kyle.
I'd like to say hello to you.
From Ohio is the third studio album by the American alternative rock band Firehose, released in 1989 on SST Records. The producer was Ed Crawford and Mike Watt. And the genre is alternative rock. And I'm going to read from the book, Jamie Walton. By the time Firehose checked in with their third album, they had firmly established their sound, retaining the chaotically funky rhythm work of the Minutemen, the form band Mike Watt, and drummer George Hurley. Firehose opted for a more conventional approach to their muscular indie rock, tempered by guitarist vocalist Ed Crawford's penchant for folky prettiness. That sound, ranging from guitar, frenetic rhythm work, and acoustic beauty, found its expression in From Ohio. All right, what do we think of Firehose from Ohio?
First listen.
It's my first listen to Firehose.
Yeah, man. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Same thing. Yeah, I've never heard it before.
I knew the name.
I remember them kind of pushing this band on late night MTV in the early 90s and just not understanding Mike Watt or what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Pearls before swine, I suppose. But yeah, this was a treat. I love listening to this album over and over. It's great.
I think Ed Crawford's a great addition to an awesome rhythm section.
Absolutely.
I think. Yeah. And the story of how he got there is interesting too.
It's wonderful.
Camper Van Beethoven gave him some bad info that that Mike and George were auditioning for a guitar player, which they absolutely were not. They were still very much grieving D Boone, but and just kept on reaching out because he thought they were auditioning, and he ended up finagling a trip to San Pedro. And he gets there and he auditions with him. I guess he's almost ready to head back when they decide, oh, okay, you know, let's give this a try. But very much like they definitely instigated by Ed Crawford. It didn't sound like Watt and Hurley were planning
They had no intention whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. The dude from Cracker pulled a goof that turned a band.
Yes.
They're such an inconspicuous band. Like the Minutemen, Firehose, they're just a band's band.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
They show up, they do the thing, they tour relentlessly.
Other bands tour to promote albums, they release albums to promote tours.
Yeah, exactly. I think Crawford auditioned to Watt by playing The Who's I'm the One, as well as a few Minutemen songs.
Mm-hmm.
Probably to show that he could keep up.
I've got range.
Yeah.
This is like a good cosmic gumbo. This is just the melting pot of styles here is just so awesome.
Yeah.
And the variety of the songs as well. Like you think you got them pegged and then you hear the next song. Oh, that's a little darker. Or this sounds like Against Me, or, you know, that sounds like Dead Milkman, Talking Heads.
Yeah. Like, so what kind of music does Firehose play? It's how would you answer that?
Indie.
Right. That's the easy one.
Midwestern.
Avant. Indie. Jazz. Pop. Funk. Punk. Post.
Yeah. It was always hard for me to Minutemen either.
Yeah. They were punk by association. And because they came out at right before punk had a defined look and sound.
It's almost outsider rock.
I would say that's a pretty apt description.
Yeah.
Yeah. This would be like a band that you see, you know, you just take a chance on. You're like, I don't know. Fire Hose.
And then, well, that's a horrible name.
Like, even like with even like within the realm of like post-punk outsider rock, you have like Riddle of the 80s almost has like an Americana country vibe to it, like a la Dinosaur Jr. And then track two in my mind is like Gang of Four. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they're like cross-pollinating, like of the different sides of that already box of like outsider rock post-punk, you know.
Yeah,
I really wanted to watch some live stuff. Like, I bet these guys just destroyed live.
They did.
Oh, I bet.
I believe it. Yeah.
The best description I could find was the Ottawa Citizen wrote, "Imagine a technically imperfect band that has the art of free-formed fusion mastered."
Yeah.
I don't know if technically imperfect is the way I would describe this band. Maybe they are technically imperfect, but I don't hear the imperfection. I hear them all playing.
They're just
tight.
Loose.
It doesn't
tight.
Sound.
It almost sounds like improvised.
I hear the I hear the looseness though.
Yeah. Yeah. That ain't slop. That's
but
that's
they're style. Tight within the looseness.
Yes.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound like mechanical. You know.
It's like they're all loose together at the exact same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
They got a stew going.
And that's what happens when you only tour for your entire life. Come on down and wear it all with me. Check out the light years here in between. Hey, I'm reaching out. Hear me feeling about. Can I read you a quote?
Sure.
I don't know if you'll like it. Quote.
Tell me.
Yeah. If you don't believe me, you can ask John Doe. Because his heart is made of glory. His voice is made of gold. He'll tell you in a minute about the men he knows. He'll tell you about a band called Fire Hose. And that's Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers on the song Good Time Boys from Mother's Milk. Came out in 1989.
Amazing.
Oh, how wow. about that?
Hey, there you go.
Surely that's in the book. Mother's Milk?
We get some peppers.
A couple peppers, yeah.
You got to get some peppers.
What was this? Vestapol? They're just straight up country blues fingerstyle instrumental guitar.
So good. Such a nice, I don't know. God, this album is so charming.
It's like a little sorbet to cleanse your palate before going into Moscajones.
It's like when you go candle shopping and you get that little glass full of
coffee beans. Or something. Yeah.
A little palate cleanser. You can sniff the rest of the record.
You sure can.
It is weird. It is weird how much they mix it up. They just don't
care.
I guess not. It's like, I got an idea. Great.
But I mean, it's the same way it was with the Minutemen.
Yeah.
They had no...
It's a little Pixies-ish, too.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
I would say even more disparate, though.
Oh, no. I
agree with that.
There, yeah.
Punk is whatever you make it to be. That's a D-Boon quote.
D-Boon quote, yeah. Or no, it's a... Sorry to correct you. Punk is whatever we say it is.
Moscajones. I'm going to be honest with you guys. Firehose is such a bad band name that for the past 30 years, I thought they were called Firehouse.
Yeah, no, and they get that a lot.
Do they?
Yes.
Or they, I thought it was like a Mandela effect, like Berenstain Bears kind of thing. I
was the same way, Kyle. Yeah.
Really?
Firehouse, yep.
Yeah, everyone confused it. The font for Fire, or not the font, the uncapitalized F and the rest of it capitalized is a homage to D. Boone for Minutemen were an all capital letter band. Having the lowercase f was a little tip of the hat to their friend. Anybody got a favorite track on this record?
It's hard to pick because they're so different. Yeah. I like different songs for different reasons. I don't think I have a favorite track.
Different
on this
moods.
Album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I liked Iffin a lot.
That's a good one. Is it strange that the track Iffin isn't on the song on the album Iffin?
Yeah.
They're pulling a joke.
If and it were.
Yeah. If and they were.
What gets heard? Yeah, I just wrote, damn, that is some good bass, Mike Watt.
Yeah.
This one almost reminded me of Devo, Kyle.
Which track is this?
I could hear that. This is What Gets Heard.
What Gets Heard.
Yeah.
With that like Middle Eastern mode that they're playing in when the guitar comes in.
It's tense. It's vocal delivery, too.
It, more than any other song, I think What Gets Heard remind me of their previous band, Minutemen.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure. It's got that menace.
Yeah. It's great. Liberty for Our Friend came out of nowhere for me.
I liked it.
I liked it a whole bunch. Yeah.
I just wrote next to that, I like that they aren't being held down by any idea of continuity in the tonality of this album.
Yeah. And we've talked about that before, like records that do that, you know, it either works or it falls flat on its face, you know, and it definitely works on this record.
Yeah.
It's very cohesive.
Cohesive in its uncohesiveness of its.
Cohesive in its eccentricities?
Sure.
I don't know.
It's everywhere.
Looseness, that like that one review that you guys quoted.
Imperfections?
Yeah, like, I don't know. This.
Yeah, they've perfected the fusion.
It's like the illusion of sounding out of control.
Okay.
Like the illusion of spontaneity, like the song could go anywhere.
Yeah, you're right. So it does sound like they're, I don't want to say practicing, but it sounds like they are, this is the best rehearsal I've ever heard in my life or something.
Yeah, or it's like a live show and they're just really like feeling it, you know, it's just,
yeah, and then
maybe it's a little wobbly in parts, but it just adds to the charm.
And they just don't really care about the recording itself.
I was going to say, the recording's pretty dry.
Yeah, I mean, they...
Extremely dry, yeah.
He wasn't just saying, like, we, like, make records to, you know, get this thing done as quickly as possible. Let's go on the road.
Yeah, that's a good point, Rob. It sounds very, like, utilitarian. Like, it doesn't sound like somebody sat down,
you know, got all these songs, got to crank them out so we can get working on the next tour and the next bunch of songs.
Yep. Yeah, it's like the Ramones recording a record or something, you know?
Yeah, definitely. They do Jay Meccano.
They do Jay Meccano. Which is strange because the Reverend brand Mike Watts signature bass is like thousands of dollars. And I was like, whatever happened to Jay Meccano, Mike? I mean, I get it. He's a famously good bass player. He should have a very nice signature bass. But it just kind of, it caught me off guard because I thought it was going to be like a $300 bass, you know?
Yeah.
Well, he jammed Econo so he can
afford it.
So yeah. you can jam a Honda Civic, I guess. I don't know.
Is this like paying like $500 for a Rage Against the Machine ticket or something? Is it the same?
Liberty for Our Friends in our cans right now. It's so good.
So good.
So good.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. Yeah, Against Me vibes.
100%.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. Yeah, I totally have that one down.
Yeah.
Fairport Convention.
Yeah.
Yep.
This has all the...
Somewhere where Fairport Convention meets Against Me, this song lives. <lives. laughs>
Yeah, this song just like gives me like those ghost smells of... B.O. from a shirt that was once white but is somehow now completely brown, and just malt liquor
and Ben, your younger brother, is like hanging onto the rafters.
Oh yeah, he's there too.
Yeah. So yeah, it was recorded the 17th of October to the 20th of October.
Yep.
3 days in
That's fantastic.
Plainsville, Ohio. So they went to Ohio to record it.
Oh, so you're telling me it is Midwestern, from Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Plainsville, is that Ed's hometown, or is that just where the good studio, or not? I guess they didn't need a good studio, did they?
No, they did not.
No, they did not.
A good studio.
So is this just like Ed's house?
Did they have 3 days off, like after a show, and we're just like, okay, let's knock this thing out, guys?
Probably. He's from Steubenville,
okay,
Ohio. But yeah, we didn't mention that they used to call him, what was it, Ed from Ohio?
Ed from Ohio, so, yeah.
Yeah, that's his name.
That's his punk name.
Yeah,
kind of like East Bay Ray.
Yeah, I kind of remember, you know, in college where there would be like, oh, that's so-and-so from, you know, a city or something, or from a state.
Yeah.
And we would just call people. It's like,
yeah, I Chicago could see, you James. Know, This guy, yeah. Well, this guy moves from small town Ohio to San Pedro to join the members of Minutemen. And so, sure, like people are, hey, well, who's that playing with Mike and George? Oh, that's Ed from Ohio. You know, like it just, of course it stuck.
Yeah. Kira Russler was always also on this album.
She's, two-time Emmy Award winning Kira Russell from Black Flag. What?
Yep. But yeah.
The first part of, I think, is this Time With You that we're listening to right now. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of Doobie Brothers listening to the music. Like, I'm gonna come in day by day.
Sure.
Those hooks are there.
I think it even has like that day by day refrain.
The pop sensibilities just kind of like bleed through, whether they try to suppress it or drown it or not. Like it just, everything's just so fucking catchy.
Mm-hmm.
Like unabashedly.
It's funny though, because by the end of the album, I don't remember a song. Somehow it all leaves my brain.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff. Yeah.
The Dinosaur Jr. effect for me.
Yeah, kind of.
Goodbye.
Oh, yeah, I understand. Yeah.
But I enjoy myself. Lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike Watts still tours heavily with his band. He's coming to your town probably at some point in the next year or so.
Yeah,
I bet it'll be a great show.
We just played with him a few years back.
Yeah. Yeah, I was at that show. It was an fucking awesome amazing show. It was so great.
I saw a bunch of people in their 40s just bawling their eyes out.
Was this Mike Watt or was this?
Yeah, it was Mike Watt.
Mike Watt, yeah.
Okay.
He had his drummer was like 19. It was like his friend's son. And he was John Bonham up there. He was just slaying these heavy grooves of drums, which is a kid. And I'm like, man, good job, Mike Watt. Take this kick-ass can hitter out on the road with you.
Yeah, fucking great. Yeah, over the course of Firehose's history, they played 980 gigs, released 5 full-length albums and 2 EPs before disbanding in 1994.
In 1994?
Yep. They got back together for some shows in 2012, but they haven't put out any other records.
They asked him about that, if they'd get back together, and they're like, maybe.
I mean, if we want to write music, okay.
Which is exactly what I would expect from this
absolutely,
band.
Absolutely, man.
I don't know. Do the guys want to get back together?
Yeah
let's go. Sure.
I got serious Coke Dare vibes off of Some Things, man.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Yep.
1001 Album Club podcast, favorite band, Coke Dares.
Absolutely.
Jason Groth is a fraud.
So what do we think ultimately, though? Like, would you put this in this book?
I was
debating.
There's been some of the early alternative stuff that I haven't been necessarily too keen on that I would take this over for sure.
Okay.
The lack of Camper Van Beethoven though is throwing me for a loop insofar as like what those like pre-90s early alternative bands should have been.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I 100% think that this is a band you should listen to. And I think more Mike Watt representation is always
Is there a specific Camper Van Beethoven release that you wish we would have covered?
No.
Should we just cover like Cracker's full discography?
I mean, there's no Cracker in here either. So you just you tell me which one you'd rather go with. Take the Skinheads Bowling or
what?
The Cracker Barrel. Take me down the Cracker
Barrel. Rob and I saw Cracker together.
Yeah, oh, dude, I've seen. When I was a teen, I saw Cracker like 2 or 3 times. I was like way into Cracker as like an awkward 14-year-old youth.
Oh yeah, you couldn't ride a bike without
Kerosene Hat. Some Cracker still holds up.
I imagine it does
very very well.
I 100%.
We're all saying
it.
We like Cracker.
Yeah, no one's making fun of Kerosene Hat. I just couldn't remember the names of anything, so I started flailing my arms around.
I hate my generation.
On the podcast.
And what's the one? What the world needs now is another folk singer.
Like I need a hole in my head.
Like I need a hole in my head. Yeah. I
that's
man,
well.
I wore that record out.
I just don't get me wrong. I think this is a very good album. I was trying to debate, you know.
You're not sure for the Suicide Pact whether or not it was necessary.
Okay. Like, is it necessary? I mean, we had Minutemen, which is, you know, 2 dimes.
Yeah.
Absolutely essential. But was Firehouse?
It's more essential than like ABC.
The more I learn about that ABC album, the more I'm surprised that a lot of people like are really into it. just not us.
So many people.
Yeah. They're all more sophisticated than we are.
I guess so. Yes. Is that Sophistopop? That is,
yes.
This is Sophistopop.
Finally.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I really want to say yes, but I need to convince myself a little bit more of it. I need to go back and look at some of the other thing, look at my notes, I really disliked and see where this fits in with that.
Yeah, the other ones we're doing around this or similar are the REM releases, Murmur, Meat Puppets.
I mean, I'm not going to say no to
that. Not Murmur.
Yeah, exactly. It's not Murmur?
I could have done without one of those
REM. Murmur was like early 80s.
Yeah, we did Murmur.
Sorry. I think you're talking about contemporaries. Okay.
No, I'm just talking about similar vibe albums, I think.
Yeah, do we get any Dead Milkmen records?
No.
No, we don't.
God, maybe for the Patreon.
Just gonna be Big Lizard. What would you do? Big Lizard?
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be my choice, but I would put it up to put four Dead Milkmen records up on the Patreon and make them choose the form of their destructor.
All right. Are we all on the positive? Well, good on this?
Yeah, certainly. This is
I like Firehose.
Yeah.
I think this is a great record.
I was not.
I found
familiar.
A couple Firehose compact discs at a thrift store recently for the bargain basement price, 50 cents each. And I bought them and I never got around to listening to them. And I didn't realize that until I was doing the research for this today. I'm like, oh shit, I think I've got a couple Firehose Goodwill CDs.
Yeah, crank that shit up, bud.
Yeah, it was not this one. It's the one that comes after this one, In Flannel.
Nice.
And then I think it was an EP. Yeah, so looking forward to digging into more Firehose. I like what I'm hearing.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, next time we'll be talking about Beastie Boys, Paul's Boutique. All right, thanks, y'all.